written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
So if we're going to say that I'm in Christ and Christ is in me, that I abide in him and he abides in me, then I need to walk just like he walked. Amen? And you do that by the word. Find out what the word says and you start putting that into practice, what you see in the word. Amen? The last one, verse 9. He that said he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even till now. John said, you're still blind. You can say you're in the light all you want. You can say you have fellowship with him all you want. You can say you're walking with him all you want. You can say you know him all you want, but there better be some evidence. We should say those things. But then we got to back it up with a commitment and a dedication to be obedient to the voice of God and the word of God and to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We should never be satisfied with waist-deep water. Because as long as we're in waist-deep, we're still kind of controlling where we go. Amen. We want to get out in the Holy Ghost where the Holy Ghost can blow the wind any way he wants us to go. We are led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We get out in the waters where the water was over our head. Amen. Waters to swim in. Amen. You want to get out there, you just want to get out there in the Holy Ghost, not being stupid and crazy. And I'm not talking about being fanatical and things. I'm talking about having the wisdom of God on the inside of you where you know what you're doing and you're being led by the Spirit of God and you got Scripture backing you up. Amen. Scripture says if we say we abide in it, then we ought to walk like he walked. Now, how did he walk? Well, let's look at a couple of them tonight. How did Jesus walk? He walked in victory. Tonight been a victory. Tonight been a victory service. From the time we start off on the singing, from the time y'all start gathering around in here, it's been victory in this place tonight. Oh, I'm going to tell you, there's a powerful anointing in this place. It's breaking down yokes and strongholds. It's destroying things of the devil. How many of y'all been encouraged already? You see, how many of you got your mind renewed in some aspect? You say, you know what, I can do better than what I'm doing. You know, that yoke came off of you. When the Bible says that the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, you know what that literally means? The word anointing there means fat. In other words, a yoke was meant to go around the neck of an animal, right? And so what the anointing does, it causes you to enlarge. The devil trying to put that yoke on it, but see, you done grew. You done expanded. He still got that same old yoke. The yoke don't grow. The anointing grows. The anointing increases. When the anointing increases in your life, that old yoke got to come off. You start growing, that yoke pop off of you. Then the devil bring that yoke back. He's trying to fit it on you, and it don't fit no more. He said they're too big for the yoke. That's how people, when they get set free, that yoke is destroyed because of the anointing, because of the fatness that God bring in your life. I'm talking about the power of God. Begin to break and stretch that yoke and make that thing useless. So when God make you fat with that anointing, cause you to grow and increase, that anointing increase, let me tell you, there's some old bondages and some old habits and some things that just don't fit you no more. All right. Hallelujah. You know, some of y'all was bound by all kind of stuff, but now you ain't bound by that no more. And somebody off here just say, no, I don't do that no more. Why? That yoke come off of you. You're not under that yoke anymore. Say, no, baby, I don't do that no more. I found something better than that. Why? The devil can try to bring some around, try to put that yoke on you and say, no, it ain't going to fit. I ain't going there. I don't do that no more. I'm tired. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus walked in complete, total victory in everything. Now, the word victory means the overcoming of an enemy or an antagonist. Sound like the devil, don't it? It means achievement of mastery or success in a struggle or endeavor against odds or difficulty. It means to utterly vanquish. That means to overcome, to subdue completely, to gain the mastery over. You see, God's will is that you will gain the mastery over Satan. He wants you to overcome him every time he come around you. Now, how do I know that's true? Because that's what Jesus did. See, the devil never, he never could overcome Jesus. He never was smart enough to outwit Jesus. He never was crafty enough that he could trick Jesus and get Jesus to fall for one of his schemes. How many times did Jesus fail in combating the devil? None. He never failed. So how many times did you fail?
Zero.
Amen. Y'all remember the story I told y'all about Gabriel when he was a little boy? About overwhelming victory? All right, this is what, let me tell you a story. What happened was my little boy was playing a PlayStation game. I went back there to check on him, playing football on the game. I went in and I just peeped in the door to see what Gabriel doing. I said, Gabriel, what you doing? He said, I'm playing a game. I said, what's the score? 300 something to nothing. I said, what? 300 something to nothing? He said, yeah. I say, Gabriel, how is that any fun? I said, don't you want the game to be a little close, like a challenge? I, you know, it seemed like the game would be more exciting if, you know, you was barely getting it. You know, you're going back and forth, but you're winning. Seemed like the excitement would be there. He said, no, Dad. He said, the object is to keep the opponent at zero. He didn't care what his score was. The whole object of the game for him, don't let him score. And when he told me that, the object was to keep his opponent at zero, that's what a challenge was. It was not in how many points he scored, but to keep the zero on the other side was the whole reason he was playing. And when I heard that, I said, boy, that's an overwhelming victory. Then the Lord spoke to me and said, that's what I want y'all to have. That's exactly what I want you to have. I want you to have an overwhelming victory. I don't want the devil taking you in a triple overtime. Anytime you got a triple overtime, that means that the team's pretty even, right? It means that it could have went either way. One play might have decided the whole thing. See, some of y'all are satisfied with, well, you know, I'm going up the rough side. That means you barely make it. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. How did that song go? What y'all, all y'all know that song? What's wrong with y'all? You're going up the rough side of the mountain. I'm going up the rough side. What how it go, Rob Lewis? Well, Rob Lewis, the main one leading the chorus. Yep. He's going up the rough side, how it go? Just doing your best to make it in. Oh, the choir over here. I know Pastor Cece ain't taught y'all that. Going up the rough side, doing their best to make it in. Hey, if you gotta pick a side, pick the smooth side. The Lord ain't never told us to go up the rough side. Don't brag about the rough side. He said, speak to the mountain. Command the mountain to move. Cry grace to the mountain, and it'll become a plain. Stop trying to climb up the rough side and being proud of it. How you doing today? Well, child, I'm going up the rough side. Doing my best to make it in. He was victorious in everything. He overcame temptation in Luke chapter 4. The devil came against him, spirit, soul, and body. Jesus was tested in three dimensions. He was tested in the flesh. He was tested in the psychological, the mental realm, and he was tested in the spirit. In the flesh, if you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. And Jesus said, it is written. See, there it is right there. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Then he was tested in the psychological, the mental realm, the soulish realm, where the devil took him up into an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. It's the lust of the eyes. All this will I give you if you will fall down and worship me. Jesus said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he was tested in the spirit with the devil got spiritual with him and say, throw yourself down. For it is written. There he go. He come back with the word. See, the devil quotes scripture too. Almost say the devil misquotes scripture. He give you enough truth mixed in there to get you off. That's why you got to study the word to rightly divide it. Because the devil can give you a half of scripture and have you acting on half of knowledge. For it is written. He's quoting right out of Psalm 91. Cast yourself down, for it is written. The angels shall bear thee up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He came out of that time, that season of temptation, victorious, because the scripture says that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That's the way you're supposed to come through temptation. The Bible says that there is no temptation taken us, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond your strength, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. Hallelujah. So Jesus was victorious over temptation. Jesus was victorious over schemes and strategies and traps that the enemy tried to get him with. Amen. You know, they plotted against Jesus. Some of y'all have people plotting against you on your job. You have people that's trying to set you up for failure. But if you'll walk with God and walk like Jesus walked, let me tell you, all them things ain't going to work. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Every tongue that arise against you in judgment to condemn you, thou shalt condemn, or you'll show it to be in the wrong. God said, their righteousness is of me, glory to God. He said, I'm the one made them righteous. Hallelujah. Over and over they tried to scheme to get Jesus in a trap. And then they got mad at him when he didn't fall in the trap. Then they wanted to kill him. See, that's what happened. When you don't go the way somebody scheming for you, oh, they get mad, they get so mad, they won't keep. Don't you be scared of nobody on your job. There ain't no man on your job control your destiny. Listen, I learned something one day. When I was in a tight situation, I had to realize, I say, listen, to a certain degree, I put my life in somebody else's hand. And then I got in a situation, I say, well, I need to take my life out of that situation and let me get my life back in God's hand. Some of y'all need to take everything back and give it back to God and say, look, my life is in your hand, nobody else's hand. You don't have to fear what man can do to you when you walk with God. I know a man that was having trouble on his job, thinking about quitting. I told him, I said, don't quit. I say, in 2 weeks, they're going to straighten up or they'll be gone. That man done put his hand against you, and you're a child of God. You know, and in 2 weeks, he was gone. He was a supervisor, but he was gone in 2 weeks' time. He didn't want to straighten up, so God shipped him out. See, if God bless you with something, can't nobody move you out of that. Remember, your life is not in the hands of a man. Amen. Don't you be afraid of a man that's going to die. Don't be scared. Tell your neighbor, say, don't be scared. Say, don't walk around on eggshells on your job. Now, you got to do your job. Don't give the enemy a place. Don't be going to work late, staying long for lunch. Right? Man, catch you sleeping half the time. Any favor that God will put upon you, you'll lose it by just not being diligent about your. You should be one of the best employees because you're a child of God. You ought to be wiser. Amen. Glory to God. You ought to have insight into things, how to do your job better. You should be the one that's shining. And I know that's the reason why some of y'all have an opposition, because your light is shining bright, and people that don't want to do nothing don't like people that like to work. You know, some people say, hey, wait a minute, slow down. You're making the rest of us look bad. You ain't got to do all that today. We got a week to get this done. Well, you know that job don't take a week to get done. So there's pressure to conform to that. No, let your light shine. Just say, look, that man paying me for 8 hours work, that's what I'm going to give him. You got to be victorious on your job. Amen. God wants you to win where you are. And if that's not your permanent location and you know that that's not your full destiny, you do your best. You be faithful there. Amen. You do the right thing and get victory in that situation. You overcome where you are. Use what you have on the inside of you. God will give you wisdom to be excellent at what you do. You shouldn't be fitting into the other crowd of lazy people. All y'all labor lazy. Oh, I got a lazy crew back there. None of them won't work. Well, you right in the same crowd. No, be different. Don't be afraid to be different. What set Joseph apart? He could have just easily blended into the crowd. You know, you don't want no attention when you're in prison. You just want to blend in. But not Joseph. Joseph rose to the top no matter what situation he was in. He kept rising up. Before you know it, he run into prison. Before you know it, he run in Potiphar's house. Before you know it, he run in Pharaoh's kingdom. What's in you got to come out. You got to learn to walk like he walked. How would Jesus handle that job? Would Jesus come in there 5 minutes late every day? Why should you do that? Would Jesus take an hour and a half when the man told him to take an hour? No, because then you're stealing time. See, our culture out there it don't live by godly principle. People get by with what they can get by with. But if you're going to walk like he walked, then you have to do it just like he would do it if he was here doing it. He walked in victory. And he overcame the schemes and the strategies that people had to stop him, but they couldn't stop him. Hallelujah. He wants you to have victory in every area. He wants you to have an overwhelming victory. Everybody say overwhelming.
Overwhelming,
overwhelming victory. Let's look at Mark chapter 3. Now, the Lord led me this way for a reason here. There's somebody here that needs this right here. Because you're right in the middle of all of this. There's a lot of scheming and manipulation that go on these jobs. You know, you got the buddy system. You know, it's who you know. All of that. You got, she said it, you got these cliques. You got all these things that's out there. You need to learn how to overcome in that and not let people run you off from where God set you. I remember somebody got upset because they didn't have no Christians on the job. Well, I'm believing God for another job because ain't no believers where I work. All right, then your light ought to really be bright then. You ought to have the brightest light there is. You got, what opportunity you have. Now, I know sometimes you go on a job, you feel like you've been fighting devils all day. You're fighting devils in the car. When you wake up in the morning, the fight starts. Oh, Jesus, I got to go up in there again today. Lord, I done run out of call-in days. I ain't got no more days to call in. I'd call in today if I had another call-in day. Some of y'all taking sick days when you ain't sick. You know, that's a lie. I'm going to tell you like it is. You call in sick and you ain't sick and say, but Pastor, that's just the way it is. That's a sick day. You're supposed to be sick to take that day. Well, everybody do it. See, you just fell into the mold of everybody else. Boy, it's burning in here now. Who in here thinking about somebody need to get his tape to? Think about it. Supervisor, I'm sick today. I'm taking a sick day today. What's wrong with you? Well, you know, I'm just feeling bad. Just feeling. Just didn't sleep good last night. Think I'm coming down. See, you start talking all that negative stuff. Think I'm coming down with something. No, ain't nothing wrong with you. And you really like to do it just when you first wake up. So your voice still like you sleep. Where your voice all cracked. I can't come in today. I need a little more rest. I'm gonna try to make it tomorrow. I just can't make it in today. Voice all cracked up. Then you hang the phone up. Hey, where that breakfast at? Hey, you finished cooking them eggs back there? You know good and well you ain't sick. Now you acting sick. Then you get off the phone. I resist sickness in the name of Jesus. I know I spoke some bad words. Lord, forgive me for lying and forgive me for acting sick. I rebuke sickness now. You ain't supposed to do that on these jobs. You can't have victory walking in deception. Jesus didn't walk in deception. He's a man, had no guile in him. There was no deceit in him. Be honest, you don't need to, look, use your vacation wisely. I know what it's like. I had a little time when I was working that I didn't want to go on Mondays. They knew when the phone rung on Monday and said, there go Greg. I never took 2 weeks vacation because I took them all one day at a time. Hey, I'll take day of vacation. I ain't never called and told them I was sick when I wasn't sick. I ain't never lie. I say, hey, I got 3 personal holidays, I'm taking one a day, or, hey, I'm taking day of vacation today. Well, it was all right with my boss. It was okay. I was using my time. But I knew I had to overcome, and I got to where I stopped doing that Monday thing. I had that spirit of dread on me. Start on Sunday night. Gotta go to work in the morning. There you going. I'm gonna call in. Then you sit there and you say, do I call, do I not call? Do I go or not go? All right, let's look at Jesus. He had people scheme against him. Mark 3, let's look at verse 20. It says, and the multitude come together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, he is beside himself. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Now notice here in the beginning here that they begin to ascribe Jesus' goodness and his good works to the works of the devil. Now that's an age-old strategy of the devil. That when you are a good person doing the right thing, people are going to speak evil of you. They don't be surprised when people start calling your goodness evil. They told Jesus that, look, he's casting out devils by Beelzebub. That's chief devil. So even though what he was doing was good and people were being blessed and delivered and set free, they were ascribing that work to the devil. And so many times on these jobs, what will happen is that you'll have one person there or a handful of people, sometimes even a group of people, that will speak evil of your good deeds. They will find fault with what you're doing. Even though you're doing a good job, they will look for something that they can criticize you about. That's why you have to cover the bases, like being on time, because that shuts that door. That's why you have to, you know, do things with integrity, because it robs the enemy of a door of accusation against you. Then Jesus said this here. He said, verse 27, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say to you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewithsoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost have never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he had an unclean spirit. Hallelujah. So you see that false accusation will come against you. But you overcome it just like Jesus did. You just keep on doing what you see the Father doing. You keep living right. You keep doing the right thing. Then you use some wisdom. If you had to document some things, document, just keep a note so that the record is straight. But you don't fight fire with fire. Because God wants you to win. And he wants you to overcome. And if you'll just listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll show you just what to do. He will show you what to do, and the schemes of the enemy will blow up right in their face. It just won't work. False accusation came. Hallelujah. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 10. It says, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful? Now, they're questioning Jesus. They're in the synagogue. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days that they might, what? That they might accuse him. You see, Jesus knows what it's like to be falsely accused. So when you get falsely accused, don't think that you got to quit, you got to lay down, you just got to take it. Let me tell you, you just spend some time praying and you follow what the Holy Ghost is telling you to do, and you will come out victorious in that situation. I've had people that I've had to work right alongside that didn't want me to make it. And I could discern that they wanted me to fail. And I know some that tried to get me to fail. I know some that would do stuff wrong, knew it was wrong, but it had my name on it. And somehow God would always work that and weave that out thing where I'd come out all right. Somebody would always come along and say, you know what, we're going to do that right. Let me tell you, I can't tell you how many times when I needed to get things done, you know, just not enough hours in the day to do it, I'd bump into somebody and say, hey, Greg, you need me to do this? And it'd be just what I needed them to do. Yeah, that would be a blessing to me for you to do that. I always got what I needed done. God always sent the people. Then he taught me wisdom on how to go about getting things done. He just taught me things. He showed me things ahead of time. He gave me discernment on my job so that I knew when somebody was trying to do something wrong. And not only that, he gave me wisdom to benefit other people. God will give you wisdom for the people that surround you. Now, whether they listen to it or not is another thing. Matthew 12, all right, verse 10. Behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him? And he said to them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on the Sabbath day? Then said he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth and was restored whole like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Amen. So sometimes you had to know when to separate yourself from a group. See, Jesus knew when to separate himself. There was times when they came to get him, and the Bible says that he withdrew himself and went right through the midst of them. Sometimes you have to know how to separate yourself from bad conversation. Or when you know somebody's scheming, they might not be scheming against you, scheming against somebody else. Don't have no part to do with that, because how you scheme on somebody else is going to come right back on you. All I'm telling you is that Jesus walked in victory in every area, and this is an area that you're going to have to master. Most of us are going to be working all our life, right? So you have to learn how to master situations on your job. Jesus overcame all, amen? Let me give you some scriptures here. I'm just going to quote them to you that Jesus wants you to overcome. He wants you to be victorious. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make it manifest the Savior His knowledge by us in every place. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory, making us conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes this world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith in God makes you a powerful person. God wants you to win in every situation. God wants to raise you up on your job. He wants you to have victory on your job. He wants you to have victory in your home. No, whatever station of life you're in, God wants you to win. It's never His will for you to lose. You are victorious. God wants you to win. Amen.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street.